Hello. Hey, I think that we're saying hello to all of you out there, and we got a hey in here. How are you?
Good.
There's like this third intruder that all of a sudden
he's not intruding.
Walked into our studio and decided to
not your bed. Dad.
Come here. Come say hi to everyone.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, I didn't know you guys were there.
How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you guys doing?
What's your name?
My name is Alex.
Alex?
Alex Barragan.
Oh, okay. Good to see you, human soul.
Likewise.
Okay.
Well, you guys have fun.
Thank you. See, this is what we love about our studio, that we can just get random people to just walk in and say hi and, you know, feel welcome. I think it's a great vibe. How are you?
I'm good, Mother. How are you?
You know what? I'm really good, but today I'm not saying it like every week, like, I'm fantastic. Remember I was making fun of you? I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. This has been a really very insane week for me. It has nothing to do with, like, the stupid shit people complain about, which is, like, work.
Stop.
Well, like, you know, like,
you can't level the things that we, I mean, compare the things that
The reason I call it stupid and I compare it is because I used to worry about, like, stupid shit, like work, like I'm overwhelmed.
What's not stupid to them, I mean?
Well, no, at that point to me it was very important, you're right, but now I see how stupid it is, because now I feel like this whole week since we last spoke has been a complete roller coaster of just change. I mean, it's good. Change to me is awesome, and as human beings we resist it so much that it actually works against us, but the truth is that the universe is a forever evolving I don't know what to call it. It's not a species, but it's a forever evolving whatever. And so we're part of it, so of course we have to evolve or die. I always heard that saying, you know, if you're not evolving, you're actually dying. But, you know, when it happens to you from many different places all at once, then you're like, oh, my God, who am I, you know? And that's the kind of week I've had where big changes, there's going to be some awesome announcements and stuff like that, and it's good stuff. It's just, and there's a lot of healing. You know, the other day I actually pulled out my, I'm a big fan of the Archangel cards of angels. You always make fun of me about that, but
I don't
care.
I make fun of you.
I was so pissed off.
Power of belief, right?
I was so mad because, no, in the Mexican culture or in the Hispanic culture, I don't know about Hispanic, but I'll say Mexican. You know, when anybody ever uses cards, like the angel cards, which I love Doreen Virtues because they're so peaceful. It's almost like they think of it like brujería. You know what that means? Brujería?
Witchcraft.
That's exactly what it means. And honestly, I don't believe that. I believe that we attract the messages that we need to hear. And I think that any one of us can actually read our own cards. And I was pissed off because then Lady Gaga goes on her Instagram and is like, I never leave anywhere without my angel cards. And I was like, ugh. So she's totally secure in herself. And there were so many times where I was like, I'm not going to talk to anybody about my angel cards because they're going to think, what a freak. And then I'm like, this woman didn't give a damn. And even Doreen Virtue, like, regrammed her Instagram. And I was like, damn it, I knew about angel cards. So it taught me a big lesson about accepting myself and who I am. The reason I bring this up is because one of the cards that I got was from Archangel Raphael. And he comes to you in the light of green. And angels, when I talk about angels, I don't talk about, like, oh, my God, these people with entities with wings. To me, angels are, like, the words of God. To me, angels are like grays, like a feeling of light. Of I don't know what they look like. I don't know if exactly they have, if they're male or female.
You don't think they're entities?
No, I think it's more of a miracles. It's a paradigm shift.
I think they could be entities. I think that's a possibility.
They could take shape, and I think that that's why they have taken shape, because they've appeared to people in that way, just like the way Jesus Christ appeared to people, and there's like a picture of him, you know, but I really don't know if that's really what he looked like.
Yeah.
To me, it's more of the meaning, you know. It's the,
what was the meaning of the green card?
So the Archangel Raphael, the meaning was healing. To ask for healing, and it said for 21 days straight ask for healing from Archangel Raphael. And I've been doing that, and I felt like my life was actually turning upside down. And at the same time I was doing the 21 day Deepak Chopra and Oprah challenge, which was about true success. And I swear to God, every day that I was reading, doing the meditation, that I was doing my Course in Miracles, they coincided with each other, the messages. It was always like, stop taking action. I read the Tao Te Ching as well a lot. And one day I read all three of them, and all of them were like, stop taking action. Don't be in this world, but not of it, you know? I don't know if you've ever heard that quote. But it was really insane. And I've been doing that day in and then you know, through this very roller coaster week, I thought, oh my God, Archangel Raphael, instead of helping me, you like literally are fucking me over. Like, I was just like, what the hell? There's like so much stuff that's happening that, you know, I can't, I don't know, even know how to catch up. And that's what was happening to me. And I got sick. I was sneezing a lot. I was just very drained, and I was not myself. I feel like I'm definitely a lot better. But again, every time, this is what I hate, that Ram Dass even says is that his guru, and there's other people that have said, even Jesus Christ, it's in the Bible, Maharaji, he told him, you know, Ram Dass wanted to find out how he could stop suffering. And then Maharaji told him, I love to suffer because that's when I get closest to God. I'm sure it wasn't exactly those words, but he actually invited suffering into his life because that's what actually opened up his human existence to the experience of what God or this grace or this unity is. And I was like, damn it, Maharaji, like I know what you're saying, but I don't like pain and suffering. So I think in the end, I think it's just what your mind decides what pain and suffering is. It's not really, like, to some people, what you're going through is like bullshit compared to what they're going through, you know? I was feeling down about something ridiculous, and then I went on Facebook, and I saw somebody post about, it was a young couple who had a 4-year-old beautiful daughter, and they were trying to collect money because they found out she has a huge brain tumor in her brain. And I thought, bullshit, like, you're working about this, like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, these people, like, how do you explain this type of disease in a 4-year-old, you know? And it's a perfect segue to what we're going to be talking about today, which is alternative medicine or alternative healing, and really trying to get to the bottom and the nitty-gritty of what is really, what is a disease really that is in humanity and consciousness right now. And then also, what are the alternatives? Because we've come up with some really cool things this week, especially this young man who we're going to go see in Sedona here in the next week, isn't it? The 18th. So I want you to talk about him. I want to talk about disease in general, and I want to talk about different ways that we're approaching alternative healing. Because I think with the information age, within the internet, there's so much information out there now that you don't have to, you know, take the gloom and doom path of when a doctor tells you you have this particular disease and here's the medicine that's supposedly going to help you. But by the way, let's look at your symptoms, not the cause. Yeah. And let's feed you with this medicine that, by the way, is probably going to kill you too. Because, okay, yeah, it may fix one thing, but, oh, your liver is going to go out, you know. It was crazy. Your dad told me this crazy statistic. I hate that word. 43% of men in the U.S. are going to get cancer. That's 37% for just women. They're going to get cancer in their lifetime, you know. They're not going to, there's like 22% that will die from it. But so 47, that's almost one in two. That's almost like 50% of people in this world are going to get cancer. Isn't that crazy?
America, right? Yeah.
In America, just in America. This has come straight from the U.S. What was it called, that association? It's the U.S. National Cancer Institute Surveillance Epidemiology and End Results. Seriously, they're saying that 47% of people are going to get cancer in the U.S.
Well, with the circumstances that we are given, the food that we eat, of course, why not? And the stress that we're under, and I guess that makes sense a lot.
The lifestyle, you mean?
Yeah, the lifestyle. And we've talked about alternative medicines with like psychedelic psychotherapy before, but there's like a lot more than, and we've already talked about how like just the whole medicine business that we have now, it's the motive is money, of course, and that could be a great thing because it could be a motivation of people figuring out new medicines and just more expanding on that. But then again, it's just money. It's not trying to heal the people. It's just profits. And with that, they're just going to care about whatever makes them the most money, which is, I'm just repeating the same thing.
No, it's true.
It's an
ugly cycle of...
The medicine could hurt us or they could affect us in any other way. But as long as it makes money for them, then they're good. They're happy.
It's very obvious that it's about the money. I mean, even look at the commercials now. Like I've said before, I went through this with my own grandma. You know, your dad's been through this with his mom and through cancer. And by the way, let me just say a quick disclaimer. You know, we're not doctors. You know, whatever you're doing out there with your life, you make a decision. You know, I'm. I have not. I don't. I know what I've studied and I know what I've learned, and I think I have a good stand as to what I would do if something like that would happen to me, and I'm not preparing for it because I don't think it's going to happen to me. I think I'm just going to die probably like at 180, peaceful, looking fabulous, you know, because of all the yoga and meditation.
Oh, that's what I think. Yeah.
But we're not doctors, but what we're trying to do is just share information of the stuff that we've been learning that, you know, quite honestly, the Western world just does not have any caption on. I mean, in the East, these are things, that's why people live such a long time. In Mexico, even, they live a long time. Why? Because there's not any, it's the lifestyle. I mean, you hit it right on the mark. It's the lifestyle that we live. And here's where I want everybody to be cautious. I just threw out a ugly statistic. And by the way, Wayne Dyer says that 9 out of 10 statistics are wrong. But, you know, what we're being told, even from these U.S. or associations or whatever, they're telling you right now that 47% of men are getting cancer, right? What does that do to your mind? That already kind of sets it up for saying, oh, my God, then I'm probably just going to get cancer and die of it. You know, so many people around us are getting cancer that they're like, well, if he's got it, what am I got on? That's what I'm going to get. So it's not only what we're eating, because there's a lot of people that don't get cancer, and it's the same foods that we all eat, but it's your mind. I think that's the number one thing. I heard that really illness and disease is a blockage of energy, you know, but I can't explain it for a four-year-old. How do you explain that for a four-year-old? How does a four-year-old have a blockage of energy?
I'm not sure. Did you hear about that on April Fool's? I forgot when it was, but the radio station was, they said that there was... what is it? There was some type of chemical in the water, which was just like the long version for H2O, and everyone started freaking out, and there's like 90 calls to the hospital and everything, and everyone was like, thought they were going to go home. And there's that blockage of energy, but then there was just water, and those radio people got fired and everything, but it was just over
fired?
Yeah, it was just over them, just that blockage of understanding
energy.
I don't even know what it was.
Well, it's fear. Well, the mind is crazy. You know, the mind creates, that's the problem that I think that it has with disease right now and with everything in general in this world. I feel like we just don't know who we truly are, and we don't understand the power of our mind, and we also don't understand how to make our mind our friend. We fight against it. You know, some people call it the ego. Some people call it, I don't know, what else do they call the ego? Just know it as an ego, I guess.
I'm sure there's multiple.
There's a lot of names in different religions.
Body, Aubrey Marcus calls, I think, and just a lot of, there's different names for everyone.
But basically, that part of you that is like, it's almost like when you have a little devil on one side and an angel on the other side. And what I mean by devil is just anything that's going to keep you from the truth. I heard something very powerful from A Course in Miracles that said that the only reason that the ego and who you truly are not is brings you so much fear is because the ego dies with the body. And so the ego realizes that, so at all costs, it tries to make you not die. And so that's why we're so afraid of death. Marianne Williamson said that, actually.
A lot of people said that, yeah.
Yeah, so the only reason why we're really afraid of death is because our ego does not allow us to see the truth of who we are. And when you don't see the truth of who you are, then what happens is that you create disease in the body, and then it dies, you know. But again, there's also this grace behind everything. There's little children that get a disease, you know. Was it the parents' fault? Was it their fault? What is there a fault? Or is it just something that, was it the water they were drinking? What was it? Or is it just something that's what their soul came to incarnate in?
Genetics or what they put in their bodies. I don't know. It could be a lot of things. It could be a combination of things. It could be many factors.
And you know, what's crazy, and then it has to do with my week this week, is that, you know, no longer, I've had some challenges, some really tough challenges, you know, and I've looked at them and I've said, well, what is this problem really about? And I've been able to practice awareness and standing outside of myself and say, what is this really about, Veronica? You know, why is your mind judging the situation instead of, let's look at it in the light, you know, instead of in the darkness. But we none of us have that that habitual practicing of doing that. We only see through our eyes, and we don't see through We don't ask God for help. We don't ask God for prayer. We, like Marianne Williamson said, you know, I don't know how people survive nowadays without a spiritual practice. And this is okay if you're atheist too. And I bet you anything that if you're atheist and you don't believe in God, there's still something you believe in that has to do with God, with maybe love. You know, you may love someone.
You don't even have to label it as God. Sam Harris is a genius, a great scientist. He wrote a book on spirituality while he was being an atheist. So that is a possibility as well.
Right. But I think that all of this comes, especially disease, you know, it has to do with the disconnection with source and feeling alone and most of the time. But not with children. I don't know with children. I can't answer that. I wish I could. But that's when you have to accept God. And also with this week, it was so crazy, the stuff that happened. I mean, there's a lot of great news, and which will be revealed here in the next few weeks. But the way it happened, it was like a miracle. Like, how could this even happen? So as much as you try to control your life, that's what I think that causes disease.
Control?
As an adult, yes. When you try to control your life to the point where it has to be A, B, and C, then if you don't allow for creativity, if you don't allow for the grace of God or source or whatever, or unexpected opportunities, if you don't live, that's what Deepak Chopra said in the last meditation that we just did. He said, you know, you've got to be an open person. Success is organic. Success comes from the heart, from the true deep heart. Because we talked about this. We know a millionaires, billionaires who are freaking upset with their lives, who are depressed, who continue to fill their pockets with money. Why? Because that's the only thing they know what to do. And they're dying inside. They're rotting inside because it's not an organic type of success.
Due to these expectations? So yes. You think expectations are a bad thing? And aren't they different than intention? Because I think intention is good. But I feel like expectations, you're coming for a certain thing. You're not...
Well, it depends, because if the expectations are coming from the outside world, then who gives a fuck? You know, like, even if it's your parents, I'm sorry, mom and dad, but if you expected me to do this and that, I march to my own drumbeat, right? But the expectations of yourself are very different, and those can be dangerous if you're in the self-sabotage mode. If you love drama and you're addicted to it, which many of us are. And I realized that about myself this week. When everything's perfect, you got to find something to pick at, right?
Self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage is my next book, seriously. It is.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to find something to make your life miserable. It has to be something. If it's not your relationship, it's your money. If it's not your money, it's your kids. If it's not your kids, it's your work. There has to be something that I was always fucking up your vibe, you know? That's always taking you out of the norm. That's always, like, just throwing you off. But that's why, because the ego, again, is saying, what do you mean? It can't be this perfect. Let's find something. Let's find something to feed off of so that we can continue to do this. You know, I finally come to a point, especially with Ramdas teachings and Buddhism and all that, to honestly just become numb to all of that.
I don't know about numbing.
I
think
feel
you
like
just
that
have
now.
To embrace it.
Surrender to it, you mean.
And embrace it. Surrender and embracing. Let me look for this quote from Ramdas. I forgot. I can't remember. I don't want to.
Well, yeah, because once you surrender and you embrace, then what happens is next is a miracle. And a miracle, again, is a paradigm shift in your mind. That's all. That's the big deal that it is. It's not all it is. It's a big deal.
So Ramdas went through this experience, and what he came out of it was, embrace the 10,000 horrible visions and the 10,000 beautiful ones. Mm-hmm. Embrace it all. And just he talks about surrender and just being a servant to God pretty much and just letting go all of it, you know?
Right. And then, again, when we say God, it could be another word for you, you know? It could be...
Universe, huh? Whatever.
That's crazy because that's what I have on my Instagram. Servant to God or God servant.
That's the meaning of Ramdas, actually.
No way, maybe that's where I got it from.
Yeah.
I hate to plagiarize from people, and then like, I thought of it. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so good. I think Ramdas stole it from me.
Oh, yeah? Mom?
So that's our goal. We were going to meet that beautiful soul this week. It was just his birthday a couple of days
ago.
Oh,
I know. Happy birthday, Ramdas.
Look at those eyes. I just being around him. It's just even right now thinking of him, like I get goosebumps. That's like I feel like about Eckhart Tolle, about Deepak Chopra, about the Bhagavad Gita. Duncan Trussell. You know what's crazy? That you really have introduced me to new people. And I'm like, how come my son? But, you know, I accepted that as a parent. My mom always said there's a thin line. Don't, you're always his parent and a guide. And my sister told me that too. You know, you were given to them as guides, you know, so you've got to, it almost feels like a bit bigger pressure for myself to be in alignment more often than not, you know, because I'm your guide, you know. I can literally kick your butt if you're not in alignment, but I can also, like, just help you. And I read, I don't even know where I read it, but it said that our children are our biggest teachers and that they pick their parents, you know, before they even come here to evolve into what their life, yeah, this reincarnation is about for them. So with all of these challenges, and we're going to talk about some alternative solutions here quickly,
yeah.
We are, but with all of these challenges, what I've been seeing is just that it's not a stupid little problem. To me, they're not stupid. This is what I want to go back. And you said, yeah, don't say stupid. But to me, it's all of us from the top of our head, we only see the problems as I have a problem with my kids. I have a problem with my husband. I have a problem with my job. I have a problem with politics. But it's deeper than that.
Yeah.
For me,
yeah.
It's not about that anymore. For me, it's like I want to break karmic cycles. Okay, you guys have heard about cycles about violence, right? You've heard of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Violence, poverty cycles, all of that. For me, this is beyond it. I feel like every time you don't learn something in this world, like forgiveness, like forgiving your brother or sister, forgiveness of even a man that would, I remember there was a story about a man who murdered somebody's child. It was very sad because then that person went in there and forgave him, you know. Imagine what that feels like. Imagine.
Oh, the one that they're in court and everything and everyone was coming in and screaming at the guy because he killed, like, multiple families.
I don't remember.
I'm not sure. A lot of people were screaming at him and stuff. I feel like it was a school shooting. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Then everyone was just talking about how bad and how much they hate and stuff. Then there was this one guy, and I believe he was, like, a minister or something, part of a church. It doesn't matter. But anyways, he came
yeah.
in and he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. And
yeah.
I love you. And he was just kept on telling that stuff. And all the other times that guy that was getting
mm-hmm.
yelled at and screamed at, he didn't feel or
anything.
It didn't look like he didn't
was
feel
numb.
Anything. He was just taking it. He was just right there standing there. He looked like he didn't even care. But when that guy came and he said he forgave him and that stuff, he just started break down and crying. And that's where all the emotions came out. And that's how he started feeling. How's this related?
Well, the reason it's related is because what I was telling you is that it's beyond anything, and I think this is what causes disease. You know, it's when you hold on to grudges, you know, when you hold on to anger, when you hold on to that. So when I had these challenges this week, all I knew was that I co-created that situation, first of all, so I'm not a victim. And I hate people that are victims, honest to God. Not, I don't hate them. They hate. But when I want to slap them, you know, because I'm not a victim. And I always take full responsibility for myself. I try so hard. It takes me a while, you know, it's not overnight. And I started pointing fingers, but I know deep down that that's not the right thing. So first of all, I take accountability for myself and I co-create. That may be good or bad. It may be bad too, because then it makes me really hard on me, you know. But then at the same time, I don't look at it like, to me, my biggest battle is that when something, a challenge does happen, is how do I forgive? How do I forgive not only that other person, but more importantly, how do I forgive myself for putting myself in that situation? And then more than anything is how do you get out of it, you know? And I think that that's the problem now, that all of us point fingers and we blame other people for our situations. And what does that do? It clogs up your energy. And then you get diseases because you cannot be at peace. So you have to know who the hell you first truly are. Please, and the only way you're going to do that is find scripture. I know they're just symbols, all these books and all this. They're just words, and you don't even need to read anything. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to go anywhere. You could just sit in your house.
And be still.
And be still. That's it. Go within.
Aubrey Marcus talked about that. His biggest thing that he wants to get to people is just being still, just getting disconnected from your phone, from your...
everything.
Talking to yourself, talking to everyone around you. Just be still for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, really dive into your own self.
And we heard the same thing from the podcast, which we're so excited to go see him April 18th.
And Sedona, yeah.
And Sedona.
Porangi.
I can't say his name. Paranki? Is it with a P?
This is like, yeah, with a P. This beautiful soul that was born in Brazil. He's
half Brazilian and half Mexican. But he was going to be a doctor, and then he saw that he was put into, like, basically his job was going to be to experiment on hamsters. Or he said that that's like the, what do you call it, the Holocaust of animals?
Yeah.
So he gave up on that, which so many of the teachers that I follow have done that. They, you know, Deepak Chopra, when he went, he was studying with the best, like, endocrinologist or something crazy like that. But all he was able to do was, like, experiment on animals. He's like, bullshit, this is all I got. I mean, this is not what I came signed up for. And not only that, but they just didn't believe in the fact that the medicine industry, all they do is treat the symptoms. They don't look at the cause. And it's giving you a longer lifespan for a little bit, you know, while you die from other shit. So this guy really talked about some really cool alternative that I had never heard of. So I want you to talk about it.
Well, I highly recommend everyone listening to the podcast if they have it. It's called The Warrior Poet with Aubrey Marcus. And The Warrior Poet.
Oh, cool.
With Aubrey Marcus, and he's wrestling with. It was a new episode with him. It's called just Parangi or something like that. And he's just, so like you said, he didn't want to continue in that field because he was just working on these animals, and he really wanted to get in touch with human beings, and he wanted to start healing with them right away. And his worker told him, all right, if the only reason you're going to have to do that is you have to go back into the medical field and go in there for a while. And he didn't want to do that. He wanted to go right away with the humans. So he went to get his massage therapist thing and his license.
Crazy, huh? From that to that.
And from there, he's just, everyone should listen to the music. And it's different more than, like, chirotherapy and stuff like that. Because these people, apparently, if you go to the what is that called? I can't pronounce it. Chiropractor. They go back and they switch you back, and it's good for a little moment and stuff. But then your body is used to being that way, so it aligns itself in that back in again. And this is what he does, is really just connect with different parts of his body, and that allows you to continue to stay fixed and instead of going back in that state mode. And he also works with the didgeridoo in music, and he's a healer with his own music, and he helps people with that, like the vibrations that comes out of the didgeridoo. He said, like, what everyone should do is just, like, buy a didgeridoo, because it connects people not just with, what was it? He was saying how...
with others, but with themselves, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's music. So there's healing through these type of massage therapy. And there's also music through music. I mean, there's also healing through music.
Yes. And there's so many people that are so talented in that way. You know, Ram Dass.
Yes,
tell us Krishna Dass. Ram Dass talks about Krishna Dass. I mean, this is...
they're friends.
I think I've heard of all those. I've been actually to one of my clients invited me to a Christian church, and I couldn't really connect. But now I think that I was just being judgmental, because there were people there where the pastor was up there saying what he was saying, and they remember they were crying and screaming on the sides, and
they're extremely passionate,
but they were going through something in their body that I could not understand. But to me, I just thought they're faking it, you know. They're just faking it. I did, because I was like, I didn't believe in it, and especially because I don't believe in organized religion, you know?
Yeah.
But I also, now I think I'm a jackass for thinking that, because I think that there are people that have this power. To me, that guy didn't work. You know what I mean?
Didn't what?
The guy just didn't work. Like, his technique, like, to me, because I went in there with a closed mind,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But now, the way this guy describes it is like insanity, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's different. They talk about these places where you come in, where you hear whatever is happening, the music or all of that, and literally you're transformed into this other world and another dimension, and there's a lot of healing in within that, you know. So it's a powerful place to be at, to be able to through the magic of sound. And I can tell you this, that, you know, Kanye West is, everybody thinks he's an asshole, you know, but what he says is that you guys owe me your life, you know, I make music and I make you guys, you know, I change your life with whatever, right? I mean, there's some truth to that, quite honestly. When I go to the gym and I have the right music in my ears, dude, it's insanity. It's like a freaking blissful time of my life. Yes, it's like, the right words when you're actually on there. I mean, it is, and I appreciate the artistic realm. I appreciate music, and I appreciate sound, but I never, ever considered that that would be something that would be considered actually healing, and this guy just really opened up my eyes. Like, I'm so excited to see him in Sedona, you know?
Yeah. Krishnan Das, like you're talking about, he's coming to Arizona as well in, like, October, and it would be, like, it's going to be in a yoga retreat, which is another path to healing or medicine, and it's going to be a three-day event. I'm sponsoring, I guess, but I can't wait to go to that. I'm going to that. We're going to that, and that's just going to be definitely another sense of the path to healing.
Yes, and also what's cool about that is that, you know, he talked about the most simple way to actually get yourself back into alignment, which I thought was really crazy because we human beings try to make everything very difficult. We're like trying to find alternatives in this weird way, like I've got to go and do this, I've got to go do that. But he was just talking about breathing and about recognizing your breathing and about how at every moment he was talking about all these cool breathing exercises you could do. And that reminds me so much of Kundalini yoga. Because when I went to my first Kundalini yoga class, I remember that, you know, I had my own one-on-one with this guru there, he's a teacher, and I was like, oh, my God, there's no one else in this classroom. Like, what the hell am I going to do here with him? And I was freaking out, I remember. But you know what? It wasn't, okay, when people think of yoga, they think, oh, you know, stretching and doing all these crazy poses. But Kundalini yoga is completely only focused on the breath. And not only that, but Kundalini is awakening inner fire in you. It's like awakening the snake, which a lot of people see as evil. I don't see it as that. I just see awakening this fire inside of you. And it was a crazy experience. It was a very, very crazy experience. And it was hard. It was very difficult for me to do that. And now I'm more excited because now in June, I get to go with Deepak Chopra. Yeah. And so I submitted my picture for the selfie contest of the future of God, and I won, and I couldn't believe it. I thank you, Lord Jesus. So I have a private meeting also with Deepak, where he's going to know everything that I have to tell him, because I have a lot to tell him, Mr. Deepak Chopra. But basically what this is it's going to teach you primordial sound meditation and a mantra made specifically for you. And so I am so excited to learn about that, because primordial meditation, you can't learn off of YouTube or anything like that. You gotta go with a teacher. You can't just like learn it off of anywhere. And it's because it's a big deal. It's different.
Like transcendental meditation.
Transcendental, exactly. It's like that. And he has another class like that. I think it's a seduction of spirit, which it is. But see, what I'm saying is that all of us are gonna have illnesses and problems in our lives. All of us are gonna have drama and all this stuff. And when we have anxiety and when we have, you know, just a bad day, you know, it doesn't mean, or depression, you know, all of us have that. And, you know, this last weekend, it almost felt like it was like that, because, but we did have a lunar moon, I mean, an eclipse. So I believe in all that shit.
You know, it was kind of funny. Right after that, all that, like, events and stuff, it was a full moon and everything, I read a Vice article and it said, stop blaming all your problems on a full moon. I guess it could be a possibility, but I don't know.
I think that we're made out of star seeds. We're
stardust?
Or stardust, sorry.
I agree. Yeah, we are.
So how could we not be affected by what's happening in the astral plane? I think it's impossible for it not to affect us. I just think we don't understand it. And I think that science is stupid for not focusing on that. And I mark my words, I don't know what day is it today?
The
9th of April. But I bet you anything within 5 years, and it may be a seed. This is my monopoly idea right here, that we will show how we are connected to, we are connected to this universe. Do you believe that?
Oh, of course.
Okay, so we will see how we're affected by that. Well, I'm not telling you what I'm telling you is that so you know, this is what I think the biggest problem with humanity is, that they don't know how to work the mind, really. They don't know how to work their vehicle, their body. They don't know, you know, even the stuff about nutrition, it's so outdated. You know that little stupid pyramid that you're supposed to have this, and that? Dude, it's not true. And I'll show you why, because we have now people that are actually, as long as they're not doing steroids, but we have bodybuilders and people that get to really bulk up and do muscle based on different nutritional values.
like being vegan, stuff like that.
Being vegan is one of them. You know, that's what I'm saying. I think we're so outdated on the stuff that really matters. You know, technology, great, it's moving forward. Okay, but do you want to be a robot or do you want robots to rule your life? I don't think so. Why don't we focus on the shit that we need to work on ourselves, you know? That doesn't even make sense to me. That's a whole other story. But what were we saying? So there are alternatives out there. You know, you
Wait, going?
No, I just think that people need to take the time to research, you know, and find out what the hell is going to work for them.
All right. There's this beautiful documentary coming out recently on the MDMA therapy. And there's, like, a lot of grand force.
What does
that
stand for?
Honestly, I don't know the science.
What does it mean, though? MDMA?
Street known for ecstasy or Molly and stuff like that. But see, our culture and the music likes to taint it and just show what it's really true for. But there's so much groundbreaking information on it. What's the long name for it? Oh, I can't even say this. Dear Lord. Methylandioxyphenethylamine.
Wow. Popularly known as ecstasy.
Yeah. But there's so much there's this awesome documentary about it, and there's like a little short video of it on how we've talked about it before in the previous episode, but there's still more like a lot of information that are trying to make it legalized therapeutically now. But so anyways, there's this documentary, and it's about just like a rape victim, some two veterans with PTSD and cancer patient, and all through this medicine, they've finally conquered in a way reconstructed their minds and to make them a new human being or just heal them from their previous cause. These are some tremendous trauma. They couldn't live with themselves before. These people wanted to wanted to hide from it.
Well, it's the same as ayahuasca. You know, the people that go with severe addictions, I'm talking about heroin, you know, I'm talking about shit that, you know, all that chemical shit. That's what I don't understand. Like, where have we come? You know, back in the 60s and the 70s, people were, like, on marijuana. I'm sure there was no freaking spice and, like, all these horrible drugs that people make in the kitchens now.
Prohibition.
What do you mean by that?
Legal? What do you mean?
Oh, by like making everything illegal?
Yeah, no, yes, because making everything illegal. Now that these things are illegal, people are gonna try to add these little chemicals and make.
I agree, but I also disagree in this way. But I just feel that the state of consciousness of humanity now is at a breaking point. I really feel like we're really at a point where we're really fucked up, you know, like we are.
I don't know about that.
You know, I told you this morning when you were in a bad mood going to school, I said, you understand that you're part of this organism we call Earth. Every time each and every one of us is in a bad mood, that's the way the energy, that's what you're putting out into this entire world. So if we're having all these wars and starvation and all this shit, it has to do with all of us. So if you want to fix war, you fix yourself first.
Of course. But we've had the less war than we have in thousands of years. We're in a great time. I'm so happy to be alive right now. If there's any time period I could pick, it would be right now. Because I guess. But there's so much groundbreaking information. Look at this stuff coming out.
But we need to start taking accountability for ourselves and for our world.
Stop saying
not a player in this and then just get up in the morning.
When did I ever say that?
I'm not saying you. I'm talking to the world, you know. I'm not saying you. If we were not doing that, then we wouldn't have this podcast, you know. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're better than everyone else either, because we're still trying to figure it out. And we still
toxify, like all of us. What did I say then? What am I talking about?
It's like all of us. Yeah. We're like everyone.
We're all the same.
Yes, we are. But I think it's a big call to action. You know, get your shit together. And what I mean by that is not, let me accumulate $5 million or $6 billion. That was my goal, you know, back in the day. Let me do that, and then I'm going to be happy. No. Let's be happy now. Then the rest is going to fall into place. We need to stop living from the norm of everyone else, competition, fighting. I want to be better than that person. The only way I'm going to get up there is if I stomp on you. And each and every one needs to take accountability of each and every one of our minds. Make your mind your friend, not your enemy. And then you'll stop doing all these diseases. And then also investigate. You know, there's ancient teachings. Now with the internet, you can research everything. You can research all of the ancient healing methods. There's medicine circles. There's meditation. There's now in China, remember the video that they did where literally they showed in a video, and this was not recent. This was like 10 years ago or 20 years ago because the video looks all messed up. What they did is they had seven people praying over this woman's tumor, and they show it in the actual video how it dissolves just from that, from intention, what you just talked about. Complete intention. We've got to get out of our own ways. We've got to find our own solutions. And if you were gifted, because my aunt told me one day that cancer to her was a gift. She told me, remember she told us that?
Wow.
She said cancer to her was a gift because she was already the most kind-hearted woman in the world. And that's what sucks, but I feel like the most nicest people get cancer. Like, the fucking assholes never get cancer, you know? They live on forever.
All right.
They don't. You know, they and the really nice people, they get it. Why? Because they're our teachers. Those are our walking Jesus Christ. Those are our walking Buddhas. Those are our walking Krishnas. It's crazy. And we don't even see it and we don't appreciate it because we're torn away from fear. So what I'm asking everyone this week is to break karmic cycles, to say, I got to fix my life here now, and I've got to, what I mean by fix is just saying, I'm at peace with everyone. I'm at peace with myself. And then you won't have to come back into this world next time in your next reincarnation, whether you believe it or not, as an idiot, you know?
Mm.
It sucks.
I don't know about an idiot, but all right. Before when I was talking about the MDMA thing, there's two awesome podcasts that I would like people to listen to from the Doug and Trussell Family Hour, and they're recently with the Emmanuel Stereos and Rick Doblin. They're like the centerfold of just MDMA Samurai therapy, and everyone should just take a listen, and if that connects with them. And then there's also an Indiegogo to donate money for the documentary, and I feel like this is going to be great because it's going to lead to a post-prohibition world, and once we have that, then we're going to, I feel like it's going to be so magical,
yeah.
So magical, because...
And you're right. We're on the right path. I think we're on the right path. Humanity is awakening, and I'm just such an impatient person. I think God made me this way this time so I could just get shit done, you know? But, you know, we're on the right path. I feel like definitely I'm so grateful for the internet and information and all these amazing books. Like, seriously, I can't even, like, stop every day, you know? Because they've saved me from so many crazy shit. And to always look within and take accountability for myself so that I could create the life that I really want and know how powerful we are. So stop letting your light not shine. You know, just go for it. Go for whatever the hell you think. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Know thyself. All right, I'm done with you. I am. We're trying to eat some. We haven't even ate. It's so late, and we've got an amazing dinner of calabacitas, which is squash with pork. You know, with some fresh rice and just family. That's what's important, right?
Family is an awesome way of healing. So get connected with your family. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. Have a blessed evening and namaste, my friends. Love each other. Love yourself more importantly, and know who you are.
Love you guys.